Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to a fantastic show today, a show that's for you and about you, those of you who work so hard for your money, and you're now sick and tired of that and ready for your money to start working harder for you. You want that freedom, that cash flow and prosperity right now, not about retiring 30 or 40 years from now if the market might do something, but no, you're about freedom and prosperity today, to be with those that you love, to do what you want when you want. And you know what? And what's even cooler is that you're not just about creating freedom for yourself, but you know that as you create freedom for yourself, you're also allowed to be able to help create freedom for others. You're able to create a ripple effect and serve people at a much deeper and greater level and create greater impact in the world. And that creates your own ripple effect, making you a rippler as well. And I'm proud to have you guys as Ripplers. I'm so excited you guys have been a part of this and sharing this show. And I love just seeing how it's grown over the years, but especially over the last year, man, like, I'm just loving it. And you guys, you allow me to teach and have fun and do what I love. And I'm so excited to do that. And I appreciate you guys being a part of this and really helping move this movement forward that creates greater freedom and answers for people that they never knew were possible. Because the truth is, stuff is like this is just not taught. I mean, people are not taught to not save in 401ks, right? We're not taught to not put money in mutual funds. We're taught to do all those things, to pay off all our debt, to save everything, spend nothing, and put it all away in stocks and mutual funds, and essentially suck our entire life away in hopes that someday we might be able to retire. And the truth is we can't. There's no way you can run the numbers honestly and be able to retire with those 401ks and those kind of investments. But you know what's awesome? That there are answers. There are other alternatives. And if you guys haven't listened to previous shows, you need to listen to some of these other episodes too and keep tuning in. Because, man, we've got some awesome answers for you, whether it's creating passive income, whether it's improving your cash flow, whatever it might be, there are answers. You can also check out our website, moneyripples.com, too, if you want to check out more information. You know, so today I want to share something that's really a personal story that I've been planning this episode for months. And in fact, I was even doubting myself whether or not I should even record this episode because it was so scared of my mind. You know, we're talking about today about breaking through fear barriers. You know, what does it really take to break into new territory, right? How do we break out of those fears that we have? Because often, you know, the very things that are holding you back, it's not money. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with other people necessarily. It has everything to do with you, that you're being held back, not by anyone else or any circumstance, but by your fears, by what's going on between those two ears of yours, what's going on in that head of yours, right? All those things are happening. There's fears that happen. And that's one of the biggest limitations. Those glass ceilings that you talk about where you can see, you feel like you can see the answer, but somehow you just can't reach it. You know, it sounds like a Howard Jones song when I just said it that way. You know, you can see the summit, but you can't reach it, right? You know, it's like that. And so, you know, when you guys are going through this, you know, I wanted to make sure I gave you a real example of my own life, my own fears, because as much as I've overcome a lot, right? I've overcome recessions, personal and global recessions, and was able to come back out of it stronger. You know, even though I went through some real bad crap, I was over $1 million in debt during the last recession. You know, I went through a horrible, like very emotional divorce 4 years ago, things that I could have called quits at any time, but I didn't. And I don't say this to brag. I just say this because I want you to know that there's always struggles, right? It doesn't matter how much freedom you create. It doesn't matter how much you prosper. There's always another level. There's always something there. And in fact, if you don't have another level, you start getting comfortable. You start to wonder what's going on. And you start to actually become depressed and unhappy. This is why people ask, Chris, why do you keep working? Like, so you say you're retired, but you're not. What would you call yourself? I'm like, You can call me whatever you want. Semi-retired. You can call me, you know, part-time, you know, you can call me free. You can call me whatever you want. But the truth is that for me, yeah, like if I'm not always growing, I feel like I'm dying. So why would I stop doing something I love? Right. And I remember somebody said that, you know, asked me about that today, and they said, well, I love what I do. So yeah, I'm retired. Like, hey, that's one way to look at it, right? You know, that's definitely one way to look at it. And then the next goal is get you financially independent. So then you can actually say, cool, now I could actually retire. And that's the fun of it, right? So, but I mean, that's the thing is like, there's always a next level. There's always fears that we encounter. For me most recently, and when I say recently, I mean, within the last week, there's two fears I'd overcome. One, I did my second dental visit in the last couple months. Believe this or not, and I know a lot of you are dentists that follow me, I'm actually scared to death of being in the dentist chair. I mean, to the point where like I don't trust dentists. Now, why? Well, because when I was a teenager, my dad was a cheapskate. Okay, I shouldn't say what. He still is a cheapskate. Let's be honest here. He is the ultimate, like when I talk about spender, saver, steward mentalities, he's the ultimate saver, right? He does not want to spend anything. He wants to spend nothing but save it. But at the same time, well, he'll spend for some things, just not, you know, fun, you know, he'll just spend on some fun things, but he's mostly a saver, right? He wants to be cheap. So, you know, he, to help make things more affordable for him, he would exchange services. He would exchange, you know, automotive parts. You know, he's an automotive salesman. He would exchange auto parts that he'd get at wholesale, exchange them for dentistry, because the guy's like, hey, I need some parts. And so they would exchange parts. Now, this dentist, he was a great guy, but he was about ready to retire. He was older. Also, whenever I went in, it was usually on a Saturday. So it was on his free day when he's more relaxed. And usually after he's had a few drinks. So you could imagine this guy, older guy, drunk, I would say, if not every time, most of the time when he was working on my teeth. He did some pretty crazy stuff. And I was in the dental chair sometimes for hours when the painkiller was wearing off, and I was like, holy cow, like I could feel that, like it was hurting, and the pain was ingrained in me. Like it was literally stored in my body. Like it was there. So every time I went to the dentist thereafter, it was a scary freaking experience. Well, I went to a dentist this week, and for the second time, and same thing, the first visit I had, which was a few months back, it was great. It was awesome. So I had an issue where I have a crown, you know, one crown in my mouth, and that tooth broke, you know, the tooth broke off. And so I had to get repaired. They put in a temporary one. They decided to do some, you know, they worked on that and stuff. And I was scared to death because I remember how the first one felt and it hurt so bad. But you know, I was like, okay, this could be a different experience. And that was really the goal of them, was just to try to give me a pleasant experience. So the pain, very minimal. I mean, the most of the pain was usually just from the shot. And even then they had a way to do it to where it was minimal pain. I actually have more pain after the work was done than I did during the work. The work experience itself was actually more enjoyable. And so it's now helping me get past that fear. Now, if I could have gone past that fear and just said, you know what, I'll avoid it. I'll avoid that fear. I won't ever go to the dentist. But what will that do? You know, what will happen if all of a sudden now it becomes an emergency? What if I start losing teeth as a result of that, right? Well, that's much worse. Then I'm going in for much worse things, only now reinforcing the fears that I have, which is it's painful. It's not pleasant. And I know some of you guys can relate to this, right? And that was exactly what it was. So guess what? I survived just day before this recording here. I actually went and got that stuff done. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling better other than a little bit of, you know, pain from the shot. That's it. Much, much better. Now there's another thing I experienced as well. So, 6 years ago, I ran my fourth marathon, my fourth full marathon. This marathon drops in elevation about 5,200 feet. It goes from about 9,600 feet above sea level down to 4,400 feet above sea level. I know some of you guys might even get dizzy at 4,400 feet. Well, I started at 9,600 feet, ran down it. Well, I was about 25 pounds heavier 6 years ago when I ran this race, and I ended up cramping up at the 18th mile, meaning I still had 8 miles to go. I wasn't going to quit because I'm not that kind of person. I like to finish what I've done, but still I walked most of that next 8 miles. I probably walked at least 6 of those 8 miles and try to run the rest, you know, in pain. And by the time I got done, I saw the Facebook memories because it was almost exactly 6 years ago to this day. I remember saying, man, it's been a few days since the race and I'm still in pain, you know, still hurting. I'll tell you the future of that. It was 2 months later before I felt like I could run normal again. It was so painful that I vowed I was never, ever going to do a full marathon again. I was 36 years old. I said, you know what? Never again. I'm getting too old for full marathons, too hard on my body. It beats me up too bad. You know what? I'm just going to forget it. Like, I'm just going to run half marathons. I'll do that at least, but I'm no longer doing these full marathons. This is crazy. Like, I was crazy for even thinking about doing it in the first place. By the way, that time that I got on that last race was my second worst time of those four marathons. Even though I had trained more, still, because it beat up my body so badly, you know, and I had to walk a bunch of that, I really didn't do that well. Funny enough, the first half marathon point, I did great, you know, for time. I was like, wow, that was my best time ever. But still wasn't that fantastic. So anyways, flash forward, you know, years go by. About 3 years ago, I dropped about, you know, 30 pounds or so. I gained a little bit back with muscle and whatnot. So I'm leaner. I'm more trimmed and toned. And I've been running half marathons. And instead of running one a year, now I've been running like three or four a year. And plus usually like a 10K or 5K or something like that too, just to mix it up. So when it gets to be, you know, summertime to fall, I race a lot. And I remember thinking, you know, just I started having this feeling this year is, okay, what do I want to do to hit new limit or break through new limits? And the thought came to me because I saw the medal hanging up on my wall of that last full marathon I did, the one that hurt so much. In fact, if you want to know which marathon is, the one in Utah called the Big Cottonwood Marathon. Some people get their fastest times and other people die. That's pretty much what it's like. I was one of those people that pretty much, you know, pooped out on the race and like hit my major wall and couldn't keep going. And so I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to try this again. And especially after one of my races, I thought, my goodness, you know, could I do this? You know, I wonder if I could finish another one, even though I haven't been training that long of distance, could I keep going another distance? I mean, and there's half marathons I've run where I've been exhausted, right? Like, I'm still sore the next day and all that kind of stuff. I was like, what if I did double the distance? What if I went 26.2 miles? And I started to think about it. And then pretty soon I said, you know what? I'm committing it. I'm doing it. And I paid for it. And boom, next thing you know, I'm in the race. I ran the race. And I'll tell you, like, even during the race, fears came up. I mean, I started running. I was like, okay, don't run too fast. You know, don't beat your body too bad, especially with the pounding downhill. Don't do that. You know, and I knew there's some uphill parts too. So I knew I had to reserve some energy in the tank for that, right? Because about mile 18 through 22, you're running flat or uphill. And so I was like, okay, you know, preserve some of the energy. So I did, you know, and I started pacing. And the thing is, I started wondering like, well, what if I could qualify for Boston? You know, like not only just finish this race and maybe get my best time. And I was pretty certain I could probably pull off my best time. I even started training to get my best time. I started even imaging that as in my mind as well. As I'd run, it's like, okay, I'm going to run that pace. I found calculators online that says, hey, if you want this time, here's the pace you have to run these different types of running exercises at, you know, these different paces, which was really interesting for me having to run slower than I'd usually trained for. But I knew I had to build my endurance more than just my speed. So anyways, I did that. I was just, you know, focused on that training. Wasn't there to the time that I needed to qualify for Boston. I thought, let's just try it anyways. So I did. I got in the race. You know, I knew the guy that actually was the pacer for the time I need for Boston. And I ran it. And there's times, so many times that my mind would say, Chris, what are you doing? Like, ooh, I feel that little twinge of that muscle. Does that mean a cramp's coming on? What am I going to do? How do I do this? And then I finally just had to push those fears out of my mind and just keep running. Not even worry about it. Just keep focusing on moving ahead and just getting there. And I'll tell you, like, once I got to mile 18, then it became apparent. I'm like, you know what? I'm still going. And about mile 19 and 20, I'm like, I'm still going. Even though I'm going uphill, it's harder. Hey, I'm still here. Yeah, my muscles are tired. You know, I could tell like my you know, certain parts of my body were chafing like crazy. But, you know, so I knew I was getting blisters. I was like, you know, I just keep going. By mile 22, 23, I had a smile on my face, even though I was in pain. I was like, this is awesome. Like, look, I'm doing this better. Like, even if I don't qualify for Boston, I'm still going to get a personal best by far. So guys, I finished that race. I did. I finished it strong. It wasn't exactly the time I wanted, but you know what? So I'll probably qualify for Boston because of this race, or I'll be able to at least get in the lottery for it. But you know what? The cool thing is that compared to that last race, I beat it by almost an hour and a half. It was an hour 25. from my best time ever in any race. I beat it by 45 minutes, over 45 minutes. And so, you know, and I'm not saying this because like, hey guys, I'm the best runner in the world. I'm not. I came in, you know, out of 1200 people, I came in 108th place, right? So it's not like I was doing incredible, but for me, that was a huge accomplishment. Not so much because of the time, is because I did something that scared the crap out of me. Even the days before, even though I know I'd been trying to prepare, it was still scary because what if it wasn't going to work this time? Just like in the dentist chair, what if it's going to be painful this time? Just like times before, even if I haven't experienced that pain for years, are still in my memory. And sometimes those pains that we have in our lives, we remember it. And some of you might have pains of different things in life. You might have pains of loss, whether it be loss of a loved one, you know, through death. You might be scared to death, no pun intended, that you'll lose people through death. You might be scared to be in a relationship again, to trust someone again with your heart because you've been married before and then it was and your heart was broken and you're afraid to open that heart up again to that pain. You know, it could be physical, you know, it could be physical in nature. You could be afraid of going through, you know, some sort of physical trial, like, you know, a marathon or something like that, right? Or from the dentist chair, like I was talking about. It could be being scared, like I had been for a time of running into financial ruin again, right? Even though I didn't file for bankruptcy, the pain was very real. And heck, even when I was buying my high house last year, because it was similar price to the house I bought before the recession, it was triggering all kinds of memories and freak out moments. I was having all kinds of scarcity bouts. Guys, we all deal with these fears. We have all kinds. And whatever fears you might have, whatever past pains you might have, the best thing you can do is to jump right back in. You know, if you get hurt doing something, you know, the best thing you do is start doing it now. To do it as quickly as possible. The longer you wait, the harder it is. You know, I was getting comfortable not racing races. I was getting comfortable not wanting to go to the dentist, right? But I'll tell you, you know, it's so much better if you can address and face that fear as soon as possible. Face it, understand you can create a new reality, a new memory, and focus on that. Not on what might happen, what could happen, or what has happened to you, but focus on what could happen on the positive side. What could be the result? Guys, when you start to do that, you'll eliminate so many barriers. I see so many of you guys that eliminate the possibility of financial freedom, not because it's not possible in your situation, but because you have other fears that are holding you back. It might keep you from doing that. It might be keeping you from launching your business. It could be keeping you from quitting your job or doing this thing that you love. Guys, you cannot let that get fear in the way. That all it will do is just create chaos and really regret. That's what it does. You know what? And heck, even if it does hurt a little bit, maybe you do get a little bit repeated that pain, but maybe it's not the same pain as before. Maybe it's not as bad the next time around. That's the kind of thing you want to make sure you do. And so find those fears, address them, face them, create a new reality in your mind of what could be possible outside of that fear or that loss or that pain, and create something that could be joyous. And in fact, the greater the pain, the more you need that joy to go with it. Because I'll tell you, the joy feels so much better than the pain after that. And the more you and it may not just be once. You might have to do it again. I may have to do another full marathon just to convince myself again. Even though I'm totally happy not to do that race again, there might be other races I want to do now. So guys, we all have our own little fears, our own little limitations. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Will you face that fear? And will you create a new reality and create new possibilities in life that maybe you didn't consider possible? Guys, I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.